Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
So you watched Endgame.
I did.
What did we think of it?
I thought it was going to be devastating.
And you weren't devastated?
I wasn't devastated. Oh, I was, gosh. You know, there, of
then
course.
You don't have a heart.
Well, I was going to say an F word to you. I do, but I also, I thought, like, this is the second show. Like, I watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I watch Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Both Game of Thrones and Marvel, like, these are, like, kind of wrapping up here.
Uh-huh.
And I expected death and destruction for everyone.
Yeah, but you gotta have some of them live.
You do. But the death and destruction, it wasn't as intense or as dramatic. Like, I figured 15 people are gonna die.
This is good, but can
on
I
both
get...
shows.
Can I get the deaths deathier?
And it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't like this overwhelming, everyone has died. And I was surprised. So I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you. Game of Thrones has killed up enough people. It's ridiculous.
They will continue to do so. Yes. That's just the nature of who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was pleasant, and I did enjoy it very much.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And when my slacker brother and my slacker mother get their act together, then I will go with them.
Well. Shout out to Heather's slacker mother and brother. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 19 of the CFD's Podcast for Good. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I am the Program Manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. Joining me is...
Heather Lucas, the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive.
That's right, and we're going camping.
Hey!
Well, we're not...
Why?
Well, we are not technically going camping.
We should go camping.
Oh,
CFD camping trip?
CFD camping trip.
Jerrica and Don would love that. Let's
yes, they
it.
Actually would.
They would.
I actually would.
Jerrica would be the camp leader.
Oh my gosh. Jerrica would be the camp leader. But you know what? I'm not sure I can handle Jerrica as the camp leader.
I hear that.
You hear that, Jerrica? You become an authoritarian out there.
She does. Out there on the trails, in the nature.
Dictator.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what would happen.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, Jerrica handles herself pretty well in emergency situations.
She does. So if you break your leg, if you fall, if you're bleeding, she's got this.
Yeah. We are talking camping, but we're not just camping for camping's sake. We actually sat down with Kevin Holmes, the camp manager, and Cease Anson, the executive director of Camp Primetime. They're an organization, it sounds like based in Yakima is where their actual camping experience is, that brings out families of developmentally disabled and physically disabled children and gives them a weekend of camping.
And then they also serve kids and families who have terminal illnesses or like illnesses.
Yeah, so. Very cool.
Yeah.
That was a very cool, very neat organization. As a person who has kids who do not have disabilities, you watch other parents deal with kids who do.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, you're just inspired because you don't really know that you could do that.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm just going to tell you straight up, I don't know how I could handle it. What is oftentimes something that those folks say is, yeah, neither did I.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they found it in them to do it. And they are the most caring parents of all time. They are
super
just
strong.
So good at it. So much stronger than I am as a parent. I yell at my kids for, you know, dropping an apple juice. You know
Why
what I mean?
Why are you breathing at me?
Right. These folks are just so patient, so caring. And these kids who, you know, some people would give up on.
Yeah.
These parents actually hang in. And this organization gives those parents an opportunity to kind of take a second, take a breath. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool organization. They talked a lot about where they get the kids from and the families from. They talked a lot about their sweet, sweet hovercraft.
Hovercraft. Pontoon boat?
That's what I meant.
I was like, hovercraft.
I know.
I wasn't present for this discussion.
I know. I really wanted it to be hovercraft. In my head, it was a hovercraft.
So when CFD goes camping, hovercraft,
CFD,
right?
Hovercraft.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We're going to get a CFD hovercraft branded and just like,
WSECU, you already sponsored the podcast. Sponsor our pontoon boat.
Yeah.
Or hovercraft.
Either way.
Either one we're fine with. Yeah, I mean, I'll take either one at this point.
I'm in.
But before we dive into the actual interview, you have a question of the pod.
Yeah, I was going to ask you questions about, what's your favorite camping experience? What's the best camping experience you've ever had? You like that voice?
Yeah, that's good. Me.
Hey, what are you doing? But then I thought, no, this is Kerrigan. I got to go with something else.
Yeah.
So, what is the best camping movie?
Holy moly.
And now, when I thought of camping movies at first, when I wrote this question, I thought, camping movies are like, yay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But camping movies go through every genre.
Yes, they do. So I agree. I instantly thought of breaking it down. As you know, I usually break these down.
Yes, you do.
First of all, drama.
Okay.
Versus comedy.
Okay.
Okay. To me, comedy, I don't think that there's a much of a question, but people might have some. There's The Great Outdoors, which is a great movie.
That was what I was going to say.
Excellent, right?
Ugh. John Candy.
Wet Hot American Summer is my
all-time
favorite camping movie. That is an excellent, like comedy.
Yes.
And then my favorite, drama camping movie, which is, I don't think one that a lot of people saw. It was called A Walk on the Moon with Viggo Mortensen and Diane Lane.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. And I can't remember who
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. I liked that movie. I thought it was really cool. It was based in Woodstock area, upstate New York, which is where my dad grew up.
Connection.
A little bit of a drama there, coming of age story. Very neat movie. And then Wet Hot American Summer. So, obviously did a spoiler alert. Yours was
The Great Outdoors is an amazing movie.
Yeah.
My family still quotes lines
Absolutely.
From that to this day. Big Bear Chase Me. still to this day.
Yeah.
But then also, there's this whole other subset of camping movies.
Okay.
The horror camping
Absolutely.
Movie. Absolutely. Right? If you're outside and it's dark, you can't always see what's coming at you.
Yeah, the woods can be a scary place.
The woods can be a scary place. You can get lost easily, right?
Absolutely.
So, of course, Friday the 13th, the whole franchise, you get some in there where you're like, wait, what?
What are
you doing?
Yeah. That's actually good. Friday the 13th is solid. Yeah,
solid,
that's
yeah.
good. You know what other one was good was A River Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Bacon was
Kevin
amazing.
Kevin Bacon is terrifying.
He was a super bad guy in that movie.
Yeah,
I liked that one. And then I was just thinking of one. Oh, Quiet Place.
Oh.
With Krasinski.
They're
out there in the wild there, and you can't say anything.
Your new man crush?
My new man crush. Sorry, sorry, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Make a good movie, and then we'll talk again. And stop getting back tattoos.
Don't get back tattoos.
For the love of everything.
Giant back tattoos.
No more
back
tattoos.
I hope he regret that decision.
I hope he does, too. Yes. I think he instantly regretted it. I did.
Milk was a bad choice.
The minute I saw that Google photo, I instantly regretted it.
And we're done here. We're done.
Yeah. We're not going to take up any more of your time, although I got to tell you, that could be a whole podcast all on its own.
Ben Affleck back tattoo?
No, camping movies.
Oh.
We've done Ben Affleck's back tattoo enough, thank you.
We have, and we will probably continue to talk about it, much like Michael Jordan potatoes.
Yes, we've dedicated an inordinate amount of time. The ratio of how important that is versus the amount of time we've actually dedicated to it is totally off.
Yeah, we're ridiculous. Whatever.
But it doesn't matter.
No.
Because we're going to talk to Kevin Holmes and Cece Anson of Camp Primetime. Here is that awesome interview. Okay, so we are here with Cece Anson, the executive director, and Kevin Holmes, the camp manager and caretaker of Camp Primetime. Kevin, Cece, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So let's start with some low-hanging fruit. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Camp Primetime and what does it do for the community?
Camp Primetime is 33 years old. We were started in the Yakima area by two brothers.
Oh, cool.
Who took some young gentlemen fishing, some kids fishing, and they were both handicapped.
Uh-huh.
And they decided after that afternoon, we've got to do something to help this segment of the population get up in the mountains and have fun.
Yeah, nice. That's very cool.
We go all over the Pacific Northwest.
Cool.
I would say that most of our campers come from the west side of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had them as far as Alaska and California and beyond before.
And
but in general,
Yeah. And these are campers with disabilities?
Right.
And so are they developmentally disabled, or are they physically, or are they both?
We get a mixture of both, yeah, as far as our campers go. Developmental disabilities as well as terminal afflictions. Mm-hmm. We do give a priority to the campers that have some sort of terminal affliction, be it a chromosomal type. Yeah. Or,
yeah. And so how many campers do you typically take on one camping trip?
Well, remember that we're a little bit different than a lot of the camps because our camp is family-based. So the whole family comes to camp at no cost. So
that's awesome.
We come to people come to us different family sizes. We've got cabins that can house a family of six, a family of eight, a family of nine. So we typically have between about 60 and 85 campers on a typical weekend.
Okay. And do you go the whole summer? Like you camp all the way through every weekend?
Our first camping weekend is generally the first one in June, and then we run them until the first weekend in October.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it kind of comes out to about an average of 20.
Yeah.
We throw a few midweek sessions in there, but usually the families show up around Friday at 4 and then leave Sunday at noon. And we have a group of about, say 10 to 12 volunteers that'll cook those six meals for them.
Yeah.
And an additional few will come up and run some activities, driving a boat around, and we have a wagon that pulls them. And we always find a song leader to play songs around the campfire when we're roasting s'mores. Yeah. And
nice. What's unique about our camp is not only that it's for the families that have a special needs child, but it's also at no cost.
Yeah.
So we're always fundraising because we don't have a revenue stream.
Yeah. Right.
So because we don't have a revenue stream, it's really important that we try to be mindful. We don't have a large staff. Kevin and I and an office assistant are the only staff. So we staff our camp each session with volunteers.
Yeah. What made you guys get into this line of work?
Well, Bill, I specifically got lost north of the Hanford Reach one day, and all of a sudden there was hops and grapes, and I thought I'd hang out in Yakima for a little longer.
Yeah.
And it only applied to be the caretaker, and, well, Cease and the board had thought that with my restaurant management experience, I could kind of take on both tasks, and I'm very thankful. The experience is always really rewarding thereafter.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Camp Primetime is that there's this reciprocal appreciation that goes on between the families who get to go there at no cost, and they're benefiting from these donors, but the volunteers as well who want to get something out of helping other people. And so that's kind of kept me around, I guess.
Very
I
cool.
Say.
How long have you been doing it for?
This will be my third year.
Cool, cool. Yeah, how about you, Cease?
I was in the banking industry.
Oh, wow.
I worked for a credit union for 33 years, and credit unions merged, and it was a different entity after the merge, and I decided I was looking for something else, and actually one of the founder's sisters I used to work with, and she said, this is perfect for you,
that's cool.
That's how I came into Camp Primetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So you guys have kind of hit on it a little bit. Why do you think it's important for children and families you serve to get outdoors and camping? I mean, it's obviously it benefits because they continue to come back. Why do you think it's important?
A lot of these families, with the large medical bills that they have and with taking their kids to so many doctor's visits, use up their PTO time, they have little left for recreation.
Right.
This gives them an opportunity to get away. And it gives them an opportunity to bond, have a good time, have somebody else take care of them for a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
they get so much out of the experience.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So can you speak about the change in a child or a family from when they start the weekend, like they come to camp, they go through the weekend, and then they leave? Like, how do they leave? Are they happier? Do they have a better attitude? What kind of changes do you see in these children and the families?
I would say that for a lot of the parents, there's kind of this nervous apprehension about going into, you know, what we describe as a wilderness setting.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you're not really sure of all the elements and those sort of things that are going to go along with it. A lot of our campers sort of require a set schedule, and they get used to a schedule. And so taking them out of that schedule is also kind of daunting.
Sure.
And, you know, as they settle in, there's definitely this sense of uneasiness and, yeah. and a new yeah. experience for them. But as it's a casual day on our longer day and we just sort of have, you know, time for them to, oh, run around the trails. We also set up, as I was saying, some boat rides and wagon yeah. rides. And then we have a kind of sing-along around a campfire, and people are really comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so after they've broken down those barriers and then it's the last day, you can see that, you know, people are kind of sad to leave
yeah,
because,
yeah.
you know, it's a very supportive atmosphere for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've found that a lot of these kids will make friends with other people in the group, mm-hmm. you know, because, mm-hmm. well, they have time to play in our playroom
yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, we've got all these, you know,
right.
playground, treehouse. I mean, there's
right.
plenty of amenities. And especially, you know, for those families that don't have to cook for the whole weekend,
mm-hmm.
it does allow them to sort of engage in the setting, you know, without having to stay focused on,
right.
yeah.
you know,
right.
how do we deal with these
right.
Everyday
right.
things.
I'd love to cite an example from last
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
We had a family come from Yakima, and they came to a group where they didn't have the exact same affliction, but we also have a mantra where we don't ever want to have any open cabins on a weekend because that
sure.
means another camper family
right.
missed out.
Yeah.
So a grandmother brought her grandson.
Mm-hmm.
He came to camp. He is blind in one eye and almost blind in the other.
Wow.
Very shy,
yeah.
not very self-assured.
Uh-huh.
He got there, and some of the kids, while he was at camp, kept encouraging, Michael, come and play with us. Come and play with us. He started playing basketball with the other
yeah.
kids. Later in the afternoon, they said, Michael, come up in the playroom. Come and play foosball. Played foosball and ping
yeah.
pong with them. And by the end of the weekend, he was jumping in
That's
and playing
awesome.
With
nice.
Them, had a great time. And when the mother or when the grandmother went home after the weekend, she said they went to a graduation party and some kids approached him and said, Michael, come outside and play with us. She said he looked up at her and said, bye, Grandma, and took off.
Nice.
Never in his life has he ever done anything
She's
like that.
She's probably never been happier that she was abandoned at that moment.
Most likely not.
Yeah.
So she
yeah.
said it really helped to build his self-confidence
yeah.
this year at school.
Mm-hmm.
He's made friends for the first time. So she said it was really a life-changing experience
That's really
for
neat.
Him.
Yeah, I think those little things make a huge difference. And
yeah.
And especially on the adult, almost more than even the child, because they really, really seem to want for this child to have a normal life, to connect normally with others. And it just doesn't happen on a daily basis. And then when you have an opportunity like that and the kid actually acts normal for the first time, like gets to have these normal interactions, it is huge for the adult.
It is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Do you have some adults who are apprehensive about coming because they're not sure if, like, you're going to have the physical abilities for, like, a kid to be outside? I mean, it's the outdoors. People think trails and woods, and there aren't
you
always
paths,
right? You
must get a lot of questions at the beginning, right, where people are like, are you sure you have everything that's necessary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we try our best to prepare people before they come.
We do our best, like Kevin said, to try to equip, have the best equipment to help them, like
mm-hmm.
we provide some pack and plays, and we have
okay.
some
yeah.
Racing stroller type buggy riders, so that
mm-hmm.
they, because a regular stroller up in the mountains isn't very
yeah.
user friendly,
yeah. yeah.
but the bigger wheeled strollers, so we
uh-huh.
have some things like that. A lot of our cabins are handicap accessible, but
right.
a few of them aren't
yeah.
because it's a very old camp.
Sure.
Sure.
Pretty rustic.
Yeah.
But we do our best to try to prepare them with information, guide them to our website as
mm-hmm.
well to read up on things.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do try to help them be prepared, but sure, there's still instances once in a while when maybe people could have been a little better prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, as you know, the families, maybe when those parents were younger, they also went camping,
mm-hmm.
and their idea of camping is
yeah.
is tents and
yeah.
super rustic and
yeah.
something. So by the time that they, you know, say, oh, well, I'm going camping and I'm leaving all of my luxuries
right.
over here and doing this thing, you know, just that alone has
right.
its own apprehension that develops.
Yeah.
But, you know, the cabins that we have are maintained by groups of sponsors,
uh-huh.
and they're all really nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is comforting having, you know, four walls
right.
yeah, yeah.
and a wood
yeah.
stove
yeah,
that,
yeah.
that makes it a little
yeah.
cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit more welcoming for them.
Yeah. So your website has a section about people served, and it refers to like support groups and some nonprofits that are actually in the CFD. So do you find that families connect with you more through these support groups or nonprofits, or like how are people finding you?
So we reach out to either affliction-based or, you know, county parent-to-parent support groups, those kind of things. When we have a camp in operation and we find volunteers that'll run it for the whole weekend, we try to maximize that potential. And by reaching out to groups, you know, they have a bigger base of, you know, who our clients are, if you will. That, you know, we can make sure that they'll fill the camp and also that they have, you know, a similar mindset, which is, you know, again, very comforting for the other families, because not only can they, you know, look out for each other in a certain way, they can also share, you know, education on, you know, the affliction or something like that.
Tips,
news,
tools of the trade.
Whatever we have with that. And so if they can't fill it, then we go to a base of individual families which are not associated with a group that apply. And so we certainly, you know, try to fit as many as we can. Along with a priority of, you know, we serve new groups and those which affect life expectancy first before going into you know, who hasn't been there in the longest. It's got to be over 100 groups that we've served over the time, and you know, many of them keep trying to come back.
Absolutely. That's a good question. Do you get repeat campers? Do you have families who come year, like, and then the next year they come again?
Typically, we try to have the camper groups come every other year because we have over 100. We only have 20 weekends or 20 camping sessions typically a year. And some of those groups have aged out over the years. But typically, it's usually every other year. And as many groups as we have, it may even get to be every 3 years now. For this year's a great example. We have 9 new groups that are coming this year. So what else happens is these groups or these different agencies will tell their other families, and they'll put a new group together. And so we continue to have new campers all the time.
Do you guys, one of the things that you kind of mentioned is you run the gamut between, like, with all of the different sort of disabilities that you work with. Do you have, like, any time where you do, like, specific sessions for more, like, autistic, like, families dealing with autistic children or terminal illness? Or is it more just, hey, look, if you have a slot, we're going to put you in. It doesn't matter what your disability actually is. We're just going to have folks connect while they're here. What do you guys typically do there?
Well, Phil, we usually, you know, in searching out for groups that are all of the same style or location or however it is, we ask for a couple group leaders. And we leave it up to them to, you know, sort of change the agenda or something like that.
And what have you found to be, for you personally, some of the tougher work? Is it the kids with more physical disabilities, or is it actually like the developmental disabilities that you find to be that maybe the families are a bit more guarded, or maybe it's harder to get the kids to feel more natural out in the camping area? Do you find yourself with like having to work harder for certain like physical disabilities versus developmental, or is it basically it's great no matter what happens?
You know, I don't necessarily work that hard in that sense. You know, I just want to make sure that people are happy and those kind of things. And like I was saying, there is that, you know, reciprocal appreciation. But at the same time, we all sort of share the load. Speaking of myself and the volunteers. And so, you know, again, enabling those parents to have more time with their kids really allows them to focus on their kids and not so much on, you know, what are we going to have for dinner?
Well, in a more relaxed environment too, right? I mean, they have an opportunity to just basically be. You know.
And relaxed environment, you're exactly right, Phil. Some of the families tell us this is the first vacation they've had since their special needs child has arrived in their life. And so, because it has been so far between getting to relax, they tell us, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe how much that did for our family.
They might not even know what to do with themselves at first, right?
I took a nap. I haven't taken a nap in the afternoon in 4 years. I've never been able to.
Right.
So, you know, that's really neat for those families when we hear those special comments.
Absolutely. Those little things that we take for granted a lot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And as I was saying, the facilities there are pretty plush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the families arrive, I mean, we have a couple cabins that have ADA showers. We have outside, you know, bathrooms and showers, which mm-hmm. are also, you know, handicap accessible.
Yeah.
So those with mobility issues, you know, don't have any problem, you know, getting around our camp as well. Additionally, our pontoon boat, which we give people rides around.
You have a pontoon boat?
Yeah.
So
the volunteers actually let the kids drive the boat.
Oh my gosh.
Cool.
That has
it adds to the memorable experience. But there's a...
Cease is thinking of the liability issues right now.
But this pontoon boat is wheelchair accessible.
That's cool.
And so we are able to be inclusive.
That is cool.
You know, for all types of affliction.
That's fantastic.
And I would say that... You know, to further answer your question, it is particularly tough when you see things, I mean, spinal bifida, Rett syndrome, you know, these type of things where they're wheelchair bound on top of, you know, having like feeding issues or however it is.
Yeah.
Again, you know, having, you know, giving, you know, the family a break or a relaxing vacation or having people there to help you mm-hmm. through your daily tasks is absolutely huge.
Yeah, one thing that I have found, I'm always struck by the parents who have a child who has spina bifida or you know, has never been able to get out of a wheelchair, needs maybe even assistance with feeding, and how caring they are over this child is really just an inspiration, because you know that it's difficult. You know that day in and day out, they are on this other, like, plane of stress that, like, we are just not accustomed to. And somehow they still find a way to work through all that and to just be some of the most caring people to those children that you'll ever see. It's really inspirational stuff.
It is. And when you have a family that has a child that has maybe some more complex issues, the parents are fabulous. You know, we have parents that come that kids have a feeding tube, so they've got to do special prep for that.
Yeah.
But then they don't have to go and cook dinner for the family, and they say, oh, my gosh, just to be able to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
That was so amazing for our whole family.
It's
we
very
feel like
cool.
our batteries got recharged.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool.
So let's say somebody hears this podcast and they want to start giving to Camp Prime Time. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Absolutely. So we really go through a lot of consumables, which would be food and paper products and those sort of things, you know, to keep the facilities clean, but as well as, you know, we want to give them a real nice setup with mm-hmm. a good plate that isn't going to be a bunch of scratch.
Processed food.
Yeah,
right. So, you know, that's one thing. We do make a lot of improvements to make things more accessible to the families.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of casual capital projects mm-hmm. that we do slowly work up to.
Like improvements on cabins and things? Or?
Yeah, some of the improvements are on cabins. Some of the improvements are on activities.
Okay.
Around,
on the grounds as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we have a wheelchair accessible treehouse, which we
that is cool.
We recently fed lines to light it.
Yeah.
So that it's a little more usable. And additionally, you know, if somebody was going up there at night, they can see their way up there as well as be comfortable up there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That is cool. I like that. It Plus, you got to get gas for the pontoon boat.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know.
right. And we got to buy ingredients for s'mores. Yeah,
and the s'mores.
The
I was going to say the s'mores, too.
That's true. Right. Can't be camp without s'mores.
No.
Yeah, there are tons of annual inspections and operating costs that, you know, I mean, anything is plenty. We really appreciate, you know, a supplement to those costs that you know, helps make sure that we're not shorting any of our visitors in any type of experience.
Very cool.
You know, as a result of trying to, well, penny pinch, if you will.
Yeah.
And another big project we're working on right now is we're going to be replacing the wood-burning stoves in all the cabins mm-hmm. with propane, because a lot of people have never experienced building a fire.
Right.
And then there's kind of an art to burning
yes,
a fire
is.
In a wood stove.
Yeah.
And if it goes out in the middle of the night, then your family wakes up and it's cold in the morning, and that's not always comfortable. So this is going to be a couple-year project, but we're trying to replace those wood stoves.
Very cool.
Well, and cool. with us being on the dry side of the pass as well,
yeah.
The fire dangers are you know, rather concerning, as well as the fire ban comes on sometimes earlier than when the nights stop getting cold.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that's an excellent improvement to the camp that I'm really excited to see.
Very cool. Very cool. So do you guys have any programs or events coming up that you'd like to highlight, other than the fact that you're about to start your camping season?
We have several annual events. We have a turkey trot, which is the weekend after Thanksgiving, that if you are in the Yakima area, we'd love to have you come out to the our Greenway. We partner with another nonprofit in Yakima to put that event on. And then we have an annual Christmas tree chipping program between after Christmas till after the first of the year.
Yeah.
And so drop off your tree, drop off a donation. We have a breakfast that we just had a couple weeks ago with the Holy Family Knights of Columbus. And then every other year, which is November 23rd of this year, we have a large dinner auction. We raise funds about 18 months worth of capital to run camp, but it's still not two full years.
Right.
That auction every other year. So that's another event. You can volunteer for the event. You can procure items for that, or you can come to our event.
Yeah,
it's a really fun event.
Very cool.
Nice.
Very
so
cool.
That's in Yakima as well.
Nice. Shout out to all our volunteers in Yakima. Get some state employees out there helping you guys out. Yeah, that's awesome.
Put a
awesome.
Table together.
Yeah, cool. Well, Cease, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast talking about this very neat thing that you're doing for families that give them a chance to connect with each other and take a break.
Thanks a lot. Phil and Heather. We appreciate the opportunity to come and share what our little camp does for those all over the Pacific Northwest.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah, cheers. We thank you.
Okay, so that was Kevin and Cease talking about Camp Primetime and what it is that they do for the community. Very cool interview.
Yeah.
They really, really seem very passionate about the work. And it's just really inspirational stuff to see families being able to get a chance like that.
Yeah, and like something I saw on their website is that they have waiting lists, essentially,
I know.
Too. So like they said camping is June through October.
Yeah.
Whenever, if there's somebody out there who's listening, going to register for camping in February, March is when they really start that. So keep that in mind. February, March, if you're interested in going out there with your family.
That's right. Even though they're filled up to this year, just take that time and register next year.
Yeah, there are plenty of years in the future.
Yes, hopefully. Yes, fingers crossed.
The machines won't rise.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I know you found facts and figures on camping.
I did.
Which is got to be one of the more unique searches you've probably ever have to do.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I have to search weird stuff
job. You do.
And not just the podcast portion.
Google cannot, like, it can't nail you down.
No, it cannot. Oh, my. The crazy things that I have to look up.
Right.
So I did find some facts and figures first.
Okay.
And then I have trivia for you because.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know how much I love trivia.
I do. So KOA, the Campgrounds of America, there was this report 2018.
Okay.
That says camping is going up. It's becoming
very
popular.
Cool.
Again.
Very cool.
Okay. So they shared some interesting stats. One of them, 77 million U.S. households have someone who camps at least occasionally.
Okay.
Okay. The majority of camping, they often do it 3 times a year.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Like you get to that time of year and it's just like
people camp.
Camping season.
All right.
There's camping season, construction season, fire season. They're all the same season.
Okay. Well, does construction season have a season? That feels like it's all the time.
Well, it does. But, I mean, really, like, if it's not raining, it's construction season.
Sure, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, new campers, according to this report, they're more diverse than they have been in years past as far as ethnicity, racial divides. Like, there are people who are camping from all kinds of backgrounds.
Cool.
And of all the types of people who are camping, millennials and Gen Xers make up 3/4 of campers.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
It's not an old man's game anymore.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you happen to drive by a campground.
Maybe it's because millennials can't afford a house.
That's right. Because of all the avocados they're buying?
Yeah. Yeah, that's potential.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. Okay. So then also, glamping. You know glamping, right? Okay, yeah, so glamping was something. I've never done it.
It's this new thing.
It is a newer thing. So luxury camping or glamorous camping, or just kind of a smashing together of such words.
Right.
I found this on a webpage.
I really like where you're going with this.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
It's an experience-based kind of travel that allows guests to get outside and enjoy the great outdoors, but without the hassles of traditional camping. It's a one-of-a-kind experience where you'll get to choose an extremely unique accommodation, pick up an amazing backdrop, and get ready for the experience of a lifetime, all without sacrificing an ounce of comfort.
That's not camping anymore.
No, dude. And like it says also, when you glamp, you can expect incredible views, unique structures, and secluded landscapes while you relax in comfortable beds, take luxurious bubble baths, enjoy on-site spas, or even escape to your own private beach.
Wow.
So glamping.
Glamping.
That's a thing. But okay. I don't know what kind of statistics glamping has compared to...
Oh, you haven't found the glamping stats yet?
No. So okay. I don't know like if there's glamping data out there that I can glean from something and
glamping
be like,
data.
Hey, people are glamping it up, right?
Glamping data.
Yeah, glamping data.
Uh-huh.
New band name.
Yeah, that. Oh, that is a good name for a band.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that down.
Glamping data.
Glamping data. I feel like we've got
this
a
podcast
list.
Is responsible for multiple great band names.
Yeah, but they're like Andy Dwyer band names, you know?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Glamping data band name. Okay, so now trivia.
Uh huh. Okay.
For you, sir.
Here we go. Let's do it.
Okay, so it is camping, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. What was the catalyst? Now I'm gonna give you some. Pick and choose, right?
Okay.
Okay, so what was the catalyst for the widespread popularity of camping? The splendor of nature,
okay.
The affordability of the automobile, or the expense of hotels?
I'm going to say B, the affordability of the car.
You are correct.
Yeah!
So, yeah, because you can
Boom!
Take a car and go anywhere. And once
yeah.
cars became affordable for families,
yeah,
back
get on
in the
day,
interstate. The 20s, the 30s, you know, you got to be able to
get on Route 66.
Model Ts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So people started to camp.
Okay.
So in the 1920s,
okay.
What happened to make people start to miss nature?
Okay.
Was it a wave of people who moved to urban areas,
mm-hmm.
a wave of people who moved to rural areas, or the number of small farms surging?
It was 1920s. I'm going to say A, the amount of people who went to metropolitan areas.
There you go. You are good at this camping
I'm
quiz.
I'm telling you right now.
Are you an ultimate camper?
I'm an ultimate camping trivia.
Hey. Okay, so what was the name for the first organized campers?
Okay.
Was it nature lovers?
Okay.
Tin can tourists?
Oh, my gosh.
Or
that's
tent
awesome.
Dwellers?
Oh, boy. See, I feel like... Like, the obvious answer is tent dwellers, but that feels more like that was something that they did to the Herbert Hoover, like, Hooperville people.
Yeah.
That's not really camping so much as it was, like, Occupy Wall Street for the time. I'm going to say it was probably, what was B?
B was tin can tourists.
I'm going to say B, tin can tourists.
You were 3 for 3, dude.
Boom!
Three.
Oh, my
four,
gosh. Did you see how three. How I leveled that, like, how I came to that answer? That's how you do trivia, people.
You talk it out.
Yeah.
Talk it out. How many shapes are sleeping bags offered?
Oh,
one,
geez.
One shape, two shapes, or five shapes?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
There are only three guesses here, brah.
I'm gonna say five.
Ooh.
Oh, that was the wrong one,
that
huh?
That was two.
Two?
They are the mummy shape.
Mummy shape, okay.
And the rectangle shape.
Okay.
So the rectangle is like your standard, the
yeah,
bag
that's the
you
one
had
you
when
usually
you were a kid.
Get. Yeah.
But as a military kid, the mummy shape is the one...
What's the mummy shape?
It's the one that, like, cocoons you. Did
oh,
your dad ever have a...
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you
standard
ever get
Army
those,
green.
Did you ever get one of those, like, old, itchy Army blankets? Did you ever get
oh,
those?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
They were
the worst. My parents still own one.
Yeah, I'm sure
right?
My dad still does, too.
And so then whenever our
you
kids...
You go and you pick it up, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Whenever the kids, like, go over to their house, and one of them complains about being cold, my parents hand them that blanket, and they literally have this look on their face like, no, I'd rather be cold
yeah.
than this. What is this?
Because it is itchy. It's
first
weird.
Of all,
why did you do that?
Right. It feels super flammable, first
yeah.
of all, doesn't it? The material just feels like it would just light up.
Yeah.
And then second of all, it's the itchiest material on Earth.
It's made out of what? That stuff, the insulation? That you put
yeah.
in walls, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're the
made,
worst blankets.
They've made some advancements since then, of course. They have these really nice, like, light blankets that, like, wrap around you and keep your thermal energy in or whatever.
Nice.
But but that in the 80s was like...
That was what you had.
Yeah.
And they were terrible.
They were horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated those.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still got them.
I feel that. Absolutely. All right. How long do you need to boil water in order to kill any parasites present?
Okay.
Is it 2 minutes, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes?
I feel like this is going to reveal how little I camp.
Okay.
I'm going to say 10.
Dude, you're right.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yes! Yeah, two, I heard that somewhere.
Two is a little like, yeah, you're getting dicey here.
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah. Still have you still stuff. Got some bacteria in there.
But if you're really minutes. Impatient for that morning coffee, I guess, you know.
I'm going to risk the bacteria.
Yeah, right? Okay, last question.
Yeah.
How many fatal bear attacks? Oh.
Shout out to Dwight Schrute.
I know. Occur in the U.S. in 1 year. Okay. Is it three? Mm-hmm. Is it 30? Or is it 300?
It cannot be three. That's
and it's
too
fatal,
low.
Okay?
It cannot be three. That's too low. And 300 seems like a lot of people dead. That seems like a bear massacre.
Bear massacre. Also, great band name.
Yeah.
Writing it down.
She's writing down bear massacre.
Bear massacre.
So it's got to be either three or 30. That's such a rare way to go. I'm
it
gonna,
is rare, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I'm going to say, but we have 300 million people and like 47 million of them camp or whatever. So yeah. I'm going to say 30.
You know, I said 32 and it was wrong.
It was a three?
It is three.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So there's
really,
bear attacks.
Wow.
Maybe there's like 30 bear attacks, but three
that
people
are fatal.
Annually
percentage-wise, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people camping and they're, you know, invading bears' habitats.
But bears are probably like, you know what? I can go get food somewhere else.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't no bears got time for
Ain't
that.
Ain't no bears got time for that.
They what do they want? Berries, salmon, rubbing their backs on trees. That's all they're after.
We know what they want.
Yeah.
They want beets and Battlestar Galactica.
They do. They do. You know when they're not hibernating.
Yeah, that's right. That is. That's right. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I think I went, you know.
What'd you do? Like
I'm like
six?
4 for 6.
Yeah.
Four for six was not bad. That's a pretty good percentage.
So you pass.
Thanks. I appreciate
You're
it. You're Thanks a lot.
Good job. Good job doing your job.
Thank you. Is my job doing trivia?
Yeah. All right. Isn't that in your PDP?
Yeah, of course.
If it's not, let's get it in there
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we do need to get it in there.
What are we doing with our lives?
So, to kind of hit on some upcoming events and recap a few of the events that just happened, we did have our first campaign leader training late May following the Leadership Breakfast and PSRW. We just had that. We're going to have a couple more campaign leader trainings, one on June 5th, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So hopefully you've signed up for that if you're interested. And then the coolest one is the CFD's 35th birthday party. So some of you who remember our 30th birthday party where we had the Lombardi Trophy.
At the Capitol.
People take pictures of it. We had a beer garden. That is not the level we're going to this year, but we still think it's kind of unique CFD style.
Yeah.
So for those of you volunteers who have seen the CFD's sillier videos, we are going to actually have a film festival slash trivia night.
Since you love trivia so much.
I do.
And
I do.
Film.
Yes, and I love film.
Yeah.
So the particulars of that will be on our website at give.wa.gov.
Boom.
So visit the site and you'll be able to have more details. It's just $10 and you're going to really have a fun time. We're going to show about 5 or 6 different videos. There's going to be concessions there. You're going to be able to have beer, soda, whatever you like. We're going to have trivia in between all of it, raffles. It's going to be a super fun time for the 35th.
Are you going to wear a birthday hat?
I will wear a birthday hat. Yes.
Good.
I'll do whatever people want. I'll wear my shiny yellow, shiny yellow tux jacket.
Not
there.
Yellow. Gold.
It is gold. It's shimmery
gold. Gold.
Yes. So that's coming up in July, and it should be a lot of fun. So thank you again to Kevin and Cease for coming on the show and talking about their organization Camp Primetime, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.